Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good all the time. Amen. Why don't we stay standing as we go to the Word? We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Pray for Ellie. She was awake last night with the fever, which we knew was coming because the first week that she starts school, she always gets sick. Melissa is at home with her. And just pray for our young people. Many of them went back to school this week. And so we just pray that God continue to just bring wisdom into their steps. Amen. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Amen. We're going to read a little bit. It's not terribly long, but we're going to read the whole chapter. I know that sometimes when we read even a little bit of a long passage, we like to drift off. So I'm going to ask for your attention this morning. I'm going to read from the NLT to make it a little bit more comprehensive, but Paul is talking to the Corinthian Christians who are young and immature in their faith. And here Paul is talking about the wisdom and the power of the gospel, which points to the wisdom and the power of God. So it says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When I first came to you, this is Paul speaking, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided while I was with you that I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom that we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word, my God. And I just pray over your people right now, Father God, as they receive this word that your Spirit has given to me, Lord, I pray that it would impact, Father God. I pray, Lord, that it would wake us up, my God. I pray that it would revive dormant spirits, my God. I pray, Lord, if anything else, my God, if nothing else, we would walk out of here with the mind of Christ, Father God, and do whatever that your Spirit wants to do in us, Father God. Have this moment. I pray, Spirit, that you would be on my lips, my God, and you would be on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and take your seats. Praise God. Are we feeling all right this morning? Amen. There's a lot of similarities to the word that Pastor Danny gave this morning in Spanish, to what he wants to say this morning to us. And I just praise God because I know that when he does that, God is really trying to speak a whole message to the whole church. I entitled the sermon this morning, In Awe of God. In awe of God. How many of us can say that we are truly still in awe of everything that God has revealed, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, what he said. How many of us are in awe of God? See or no? You gotta say it with your gut, man. You gotta say it with your lungs. I've always believed that if a Christian loses the awe of God, they've lost pretty much everything. When you lose the awe of God, that's, man, that's concerning. And when I say the awe of God, I mean it in like the most simplistic way. Like the very thought of God wows you. When you remember what God did for you, what Jesus did for you, that he saved you, that wows you. When you think about the grace, when I think about the grace, when I think about the mercy that I don't deserve, man, it wows me. There's a very real danger when the gospel itself no longer impresses us, because the gospel speaks to everything that God is. Through the gospel, we know that through Jesus, we know that God is still Jehovah Jireh, the one who provided the perfect sacrifice through Jesus Christ. We know that he is still Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals us of our sins. We know that he is Jehovah Shalom, the one who brings peace to the world, to those who know him. And I don't know about you, but when I hear a simple message on the gospel, even though I've heard it millions of times before, even though I've been saved for many, many years, it still brings me to tears, man. It still brings me to tears. And when Brother David was picking up the offering this morning and ministering, he was just speaking about what Jesus did, and I couldn't help but just tear up right there like a little baby. Because when I think about the gospel, it impacts my soul. To remember the thing that Jesus did for me on the cross, to know that he humbled himself, to become so low and to serve and not to be served, and to be the perfect example of loving people through hatred and persecution and denial and betrayal. If the gospel no longer wows you, if it doesn't impact you, and if it doesn't move you, you may no longer be in awe of God. And so I think it's very good to recall, and Pastor Danny, he preached about it, or he didn't preach about it, but he mentioned it this morning. It's good for us to constantly recall the message to the church in Ephesus, the church that lost or abandoned its first love for God and for people. We cannot lose that feeling, church. We cannot lose a feeling of just knowing who God is and standing in his presence and what that feels like. Because I think many Christians have lost the heart of knowing God. And we're in danger of losing the heart of God as we go through our Christian walk. And whenever we get there, we like to look to other things, even godly things, to fill our spirit. We think that we need all the extras that come with our faith. We need the callings. We need the ministries. We need the signs. We need the miracles. We need the giftings. All of that is good. But it should not take away the awe that you have of God if none of those things are in place. If you ever go to a church service, this church or another church, and all they do is talk about Jesus and his love and his grace and his call to repentance, and you walk out of there wishing that you had a little bit more. Look, I get that we need to talk about the other stuff, but remember that that is enough. The gospel is enough. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, the water that I give you, which was himself, will never run dry. Meaning that Jesus will always do the job of satisfying the spirit. He is all that we need. And so when we no longer thirst, listen, when we no longer thirst for the living water, when we have to have the Dr. Pepper and the cafecito, and we have to have the orange juice and the Texas sweet tea, when the water is no longer satiating to us, we neglect the most important element to our bodies and we don't get enough of it. And so when we crave more godly things than we do God himself, we neglect the most important element to our spirit, which is the Spirit of God. And we say, well, Pastor, I just want to go deeper. I just want more. But understand that there is a difference between wanting more of God and wanting more of the things of God. Many of us think we want more of God. We just want more of the things of God. We want more blessings and more miracles and more discipleship and more anointing for our ministries and our callings. But when Moses was asking to see God's glory, he wasn't asking for favor. He wasn't asking for blessings. He wasn't asking for leadership skills. He wasn't asking for wisdom. He was asking to see more of the glory of God. He longed for God's presence. And if you go to a church service needing a little bit more, needing the song that gets you, needing the human video, and the gospel's not enough, you go to a Christian club. I love the things of God. You know what I love? I love theology. I love theology. I was love it so much I was dumb enough to go into student debt for it. Master's in theology. I'm pursuing a PhD. That's going a little bit slower because I'm trying to pay cash for it, but I love it. I love theology. I love going into the Greek. I love going into the Hebrew. I love all the things that they don't even teach or preach about in church. I love it. But when I get to heaven, I'm not taking my commentaries with me. I'm not taking my study materials with me. I'm not taking the lexicons and the concordances. You might love worship music. How many of us you love worship music? Y'all jam it. Y'all jam worship. You love it. And for you, maybe worship music means going deeper with God, but take away the worship music. Can you still be in awe of who God is in the silence? Are you still in awe of the gospel that changes lives and sets people free? Or do you need more of the other stuff to keep you engaged? That's a very important question to be honest with yourself about. Now, how does this relate to the passage that we just read? I want to give you some context. The Corinthians were infused with Greek thought and culture. And so the Greeks, they were known for their philosophy. They were known for their poetry. They were known for their wisdom. So the Corinthian church was already influenced by their culture. They were already influenced by men like Socrates and Aristotle and Plato, these philosophers who are still very much influential today. And so the church in Corinth had a framework. I want you to get this. They had a framework of the kingdom of God that existed within the framework of their own culture. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it slower. The Corinthians had a perspective of the kingdom of God that was filtered first through their cultural lens. They had to add sauce, as the kids say these days, to their Christianity. And by the way, we still do this. I believe that we as Americans, we have a framework of the kingdom of God that exists within the framework of our culture. We can go deeper. Hispanics, we have a framework of the kingdom of God that exists within the framework of our own culture. This is why we assign cultural ideas and cultural practices to kingdom principles. And then we judge others when we see other people of other cultures doing things differently that are not biblical, and we call it foolish, even though we've got plenty of things that we do that are not biblical, but they are cultural. And that's how division happens. This is why it's hard, and I know this, it's hard to have a multicultural, multi-ethnic church. When I started to pastor, that was one of the visions that I shared, that we would be a church that looked like heaven. Multi-generational, multicultural, multi-ethnic. And I think we've made some progress, but man, I can tell you, it is hard to break down cultural barriers. It is hard to lead through cultural preferences. It takes a lot of grace to welcome new ideas and new ways of doing things at church that are not wrong, they're just different. We don't like new unless it benefits us. You might want a new house, but probably not in a new country. And so what you get in the most diverse nation in the world is you get the Hispanic churches, you get the black churches, you get the white churches, you get the older churches, you get the younger churches, all with their own style and preferences, because it's just easier to be among those who think exactly the way that you do. And so one of the main reasons, I know I'm teaching a little bit, don't get bored, please. One of the main reasons that Paul is even addressing the Corinthians is because of their division. But the division isn't even the real issue. It's just a symptom. The real issue is that they have not yet adopted the mind of Christ. They're still thinking according to the standards and the ideas of their culture. They've allowed the influence of their culture and their upbringing to get in the way of the gospel. And so what's happening, and you know, if you read the first three chapters of 1 Corinthians, you'll see it. The church is beginning to take sides off of who they prefer to follow. And so the church is, they're going in their separate ways. They're going in different directions. And there's nothing wrong with having cultural preferences. There's nothing wrong with preferring a church over another church. I prefer to worship here at home. I love it here. I love you guys. Y'all are some cool people. I like y'all. I prefer certain worship songs. There's some worship songs that I don't like. I wish that the worship team wouldn't sing. But I'm not going to tell them not to sing it because it ministers to some of you. I prefer certain preaching styles. But I will not go as far as some people do and say that the Spirit of God is only at the place that I prefer to be. I will not say that the power of God isn't at the church down the street. I'm not going to say that the power of God isn't in the way that you choose to raise your kids, even though it's different than the way that I choose to raise my kids. I'm not going to say that the Holy Spirit isn't at the Baptist church. I'm not going to say that the Holy Spirit isn't at the place where they don't have a full band. I'm not going to say stupid things like that. Why? Because the presence of God does not stand on a pulpit. He does not stand on a microphone or a keyboard or even a minister. The presence of God stands all on its own. And so wherever I go, wherever you go, the posture of my spirit has got nothing to do with the preacher. It's got nothing to do with the leader or the culture. As long as I stand in awe of my holy God, my worship will never be affected. But you don't get that when you're no longer in awe of God. You need other things. You need stimulation. You need entertainment. Because God doesn't do it for you. Please hear me. I'm not saying that it's not a good thing to have all of these other things. You know, obviously we need where you go to church matters. It does matter. Matters a lot. The kind of biblical teaching that you're receiving, that matters. But none of it should be relevant to your worship. None of it. Because you don't worship a minister. You don't worship a doctrine. You don't worship an ideology. You worship God. And, you know, some ministers carry with them a special gifting, a special anointing. And if you want to learn from that person and you want to become a student of theirs, that's fine. If you like the vision of a pastor or the way that a certain church does things for their community, great, get behind that. But we need to stop idolizing all of the extras. I think I'm preaching to the wrong crowd this morning because we got it right. The most important thing that a church can have, and I tell this to anybody. Look, I'm not always advocating for our church. We're a great church. You want to come here? Come here. You're going to get fed well, and I think there's good people here. There's good community here. There's great worship here. You're going to be in a healthy place. I'm not going to drag you by the ear to come to my church. And so I tell people, look, if you're looking for a church, the number one thing you need to know if that church has a presence of God. That's what you need. That's the most important thing. Because if it's got all of the cool stuff, but no presence, you're just being entertained. That's it. But you know what? If you've got none of the cool stuff, but only the presence of God, you're being ministered to. And so sometimes, you know, even at church, you know, we like the cool stuff. We like the nice stuff. We like the AC. Every time I walk into the sanctuary, I make sure it's on 70. Yes. And then sometimes it gets a little chilly and I'll pick it up like 1 degree. I want everybody to be comfortable. Sometimes when we're doing baptisms in the wintertime, it gets cold. And I touch them like, They're gonna leave their sin in there, but their body's gonna stay in there because they're gonna freeze to death. We wanna be comfortable. We talk about getting the nice, you know, LED wall screen that we absolutely do not need, but we want. We like the nice stuff, and that's fine. But sometimes you have to learn, and we have to discern as a church, as a people, as individuals, when we are being affected a little bit too much by the extras. And we have to pull out And we got to go home and we got to seek God when there's no one else around. We got to stop putting on the worship music sometimes just to go directly to God. God, I want to see you face to face. I don't want anything in the way. I don't want anything distracting me from the raw, real you. I want God unfiltered. We like to put a filter on everything, including our praise and our worship to God. But God is calling a church that would worship him in spirit and in truth. And so that's what I tell people. If you're looking for a church, start with the presence of God. That is the highest authority. The gospel. And then you can look for everything else. And so the Corinthians, you're still with me? The Corinthians were driven by human wisdom. That was their culture. You had to be deep. You had to be eloquent. You had to be educated. That's what you had to be in this culture. There was a famous Greek writer by the name of Celsus. He was one of the most harsh critics of Christianity. And he called Christians dumb people, ignorant people. And he said that Christians preyed on the poor and the weak and the uneducated. This was the overall thinking of Greek philosophy. So the Christians of this day in Corinth felt the need to marry the gospel to their culture. Let me tell you right now, you don't marry the gospel to your culture. You submit to the gospel. You don't try to fit the gospel into who you've been, because it's not about who you've been. It is about who you are becoming. And the gospel changes and transforms you when you submit to it. Don't be trying to marry it and incorporate it into a life that you lived before that God is trying to call you out of. That's what the Corinthians were doing. And it had to be hard. Imagine living in this time with this cultural framework, trying to be a new Christian. You're a Christian, but you still got your cultural roots and they affect your thinking. You still have people who carry influence in your life and they're shaping the way that you think. And so Paul writes this letter to them so that they know that they need to get out of that mindset. He says in chapter 1, 27, he says, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." Do you know what he's doing here? He's attacking the cultural mindset. That's what he's doing. Paul says it in the Romans, to the Romans. He says that we need to be renewed. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What in your mind needs to be renewed? Because it's not kingdom mentality. It's human mentality. I want you to think about that. Think about it. There's men in the room right now with a mentality that says you have to be powerful, you've got to be successful, that emotion is weak, and if you don't have any of those things, then you're not man enough. But the Bible says that God used the weak and the powerless and the poor to shame the strong. We don't need a man mindset, we need a man of God mindset. Leaders, and I have to tell them, I have to remind myself of this all the time. Leaders and pastors, we have been told that we need respect and we need authority and we need control and we need new strategies because that's what makes a good leader. But the Bible shows God using the humble and the weak and the servants and the prisoners to lead nations. We need to rethink some of the things in the kingdom of God that we are now called to be a part of. Many of us have stubborn mindsets. How many stubborn people we got in the room? Y'all so stubborn, y'all don't even raise your hands. We got stubborn mindsets. We are stuck in our ways. God has shown us. Yeah, I used to always think it was the older generation. The older generation, they're just stuck in their ways. But you know what? As we get older, we get stuck in our ways. That's what happens. And so, but when you have that, you don't allow the gospel to have its full effect because you haven't been completely transformed in your mind. I don't want to think like an American when it comes to the gospel. I don't want to think like a Hispanic when it comes to the gospel. I don't want to think like a millennial when it comes to the gospel. I want to think like a child of God when it comes to the gospel. I want to think like a servant of the living God when it comes to the gospel, a laborer when it comes to the gospel. Many times we talk about repentance. We talk, repentance is what? Repentance is turning away. It's turning your back from something to follow Jesus. So you leave behind your old life, your old habits, your sin, the things that were weighing you down. You turn away from it and you follow Jesus. We hardly ever talk about repentance of mind. See or no? That's why we have Christians who still have machismo mindsets. We still have Christians who still have victim mindsets. Think the world's out to get you, and you can never pick your feet up because you're always just down. Even though you know the story of the gospel that says that Jesus died for you to give you life eternal. What mindsets haven't you transformed yet? Haven't you repented from? We need to turn our minds from what the world has been teaching us and adopt the mind of Christ. I'm gonna have the worship team come up. I'm not gonna preach very, very long today. The church of Corinth, they thought that they needed to fit in with the culture. They thought that they needed the gospel to fit in with their culture. And so Paul says this. He says, I came to you in weakness. Somebody say weakness. We don't like that. We don't like weakness. But he says, I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. I didn't come to you with the sword. I didn't come with you having all this influence. Weakness was, to the Greeks, it was countercultural. And then he says, the message that I brought to you, my preaching was very plain. It's believed that Paul wasn't the best speaker. And I think it's Acts 20 where he's preaching and he literally puts somebody to death because of his preaching. Somebody falls asleep. And then they fall out the window and they die. That's a probably a long-winded preacher, you know. Paul wasn't reading the room. You got to read the room sometimes as preachers. You know. He wasn't the best speaker. But he says, rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I did this. So this is his excuse, right? I did this so that you would not trust in human wisdom, but the power of God. It was the very power of God that saved these men and women. It wasn't his words. It wasn't Paul trying to convince them. It wasn't him using poetry or eloquence to make them emotional while he was preaching to them and make them come to Christ. No, it was the very power of God's invitation to sinners. That's what saved every single one of us here. I didn't save any of you. None of the leaders, none of the pastors have saved any of you. No worship song has saved any of you. It's only the power of God. It's only the blood of Jesus that covers you and that sets you free. That is what saved you. It's the Holy Spirit that saved you. The conviction, the grace. All you had to bring to the table is your faith of his power. But now the Corinthians needed something more. Somebody say more. How many times are you asking God for more? And what is it more of? That's a better question. Say, they needed more, but they needed more wisdom. They needed more eloquence from the speaker. They had no awe of God. If we lose the awe of God, if we lose the awe of the gospel, we will always just need a divine stimulant that will not always be there. I preached last week on the still small voice of God. You know, that's where God is most of the time. It's in the still small, the little details. That's where God is most of the time. And if I'm always needing to see a mountain move or the earth be shaking, if I can't just be standing in his presence in silence, remembering all that he's done for me, all that he is, I've lost the awe of God. Look at verse 5 one more time. I want you to take out the word wisdom. Insert whatever word suits you best. Whatever word you think you need. For the Corinthians, wisdom, human wisdom, is what they thought they needed. What human thing do we rely on today to get us closer to God? What do you think that you need to get you closer to God? Now, I suppose it could say, I did this so that you would not trust in human talent of the worship team, of the vocalists and their vocal runs. There was a song that was written, the Heart of Worship song. It was written out of a time where a church decided to begin each service in silence. They were just going to be quiet. So they didn't have a worship team on stage. They said, you know what? We're not going to do worship music, but we're going to do worship. And I got to tell you, we've done that before. And it starts off very awkward. Because the music fills the silence. We've allowed the music, we've allowed the minister to fill the silence. And we sing these beautiful songs about come on my soul. And praise, right? Praise will be my something. What was it? Warfare. We have all of these lyrics that fill the room for us. But where is the praise of the people? Where is the worship of the people? Where is the awe of God? And so sometimes it takes a minute. But if you've got a room full of worshipers, you don't need the music. The worship begins to fill the room. Voices begin to fill the room. And the Holy Spirit descends on a church that is totally in love with Him. What is it that you need to get you closer to God? Maybe it's the message, the eloquence, the preaching, the illustrations. You need it to be, you need Pastor Ryan to tell some funny stories to stay engaged. You need an illustration in there. You need something that's relatable. You need something that's speaking exactly to me. Insert whatever word you want to put in there. The point is, we need not rely on human anything to bring us closer to God. Rather, we must rely on the power of God for everything. It's okay to be impressed with human talent. I'm impressed by our worship team. I'm impressed by our young people. I'm impressed with a good preacher, a good speaker. Praise the Lord for the gifted. But only ever be in awe of God Almighty, because when you are in awe of God Almighty, He will be the sole focus of your attention. You're not going to need anything else. Do you know why Moses was so special to God? You still with me? Y'all quiet today. Do you know why Moses was so special to God? Moses was called the prophet of whom no other has arisen. There's no other prophet like Moses. Not Elijah, not Elijah, not Isaiah, not Ezekiel, not Jeremiah. The only prophet like Moses was Jesus. In Deuteronomy, it sums up the ministry, but more importantly, the relationship that he had with God. At the end of Deuteronomy 34, I think verse 10, it says, "And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, who knew the Lord face to face." Face to face. You can't know the Lord face to face when you have a cultural mindset blocking your view. You can't know what it's like to be completely connected with God with human distractions. I'm not saying the worship music is a distraction, but it can be. And so we have to be practicing constantly being alone in the presence of God, face to face with the Lord of glory. Moses knew the wonder-working God who parted the Red Sea and who did miracles. He knew the glory of God. He knew the power of God. But he also knew what it was like to be in his presence. From the very first time he's introduced to God in Exodus, Moses is drawn to the glory of God. And he just wants to stand in his presence He just wants to be right there on holy ground. Please, church, this is just a plea this morning to not lose the awe of God, to not lose the love of God, to not need all of the extras, to not have to desire more than the water that fills your spirit. Like I said, I'm passionate about this word because I believe that a church that doesn't just love being in his presence, man, and I feel like I can't, you know, I'm a preacher. I feel like the Lord has gifted me with words, and I can prepare a good eloquent sermon, and I can make a pretty good case sometimes. But for some reason, I can't speak my way into making you being all with God. It's got to come from your heart. And so all I can do this morning is remind you to seek God, to release yourself of the noise, to release yourself of the distraction. When you stand in the presence of God, when you're praying, just focus on God. How many times do we stand in the presence of God? How many times are we here at the altar and our mind immediately goes to something else? Holy Spirit, I pray, Father God, over these people right now, Lord. I want you to stand with me. Stand with me. I pray, my God, that you would fill us. Fill us, my God, with awe and amazement of just who you are, Father. That we would desire to just be found in your presence, God. I pray against the distractions. I pray against the noise, my God. I pray against the things that we think that we need, Father God. I pray against the mindsets, Lord. I pray that we would just come to you humbly, Father God, to seek you first, my God, knowing that if we seek you first, everything else will fall into place, my God. Stir our spirit, Father. I'm going to open these altars up this morning. And we're just going to have a time of being in his presence. Altars are open. Altars are open. And I'm inviting everybody this morning, whether you have a prayer need, or I want us as a church with no distractions to focus. And sometimes it's okay to be in the silence. I ask the worship team real quick, just with no music, if we could just sing, if we could just unite with the angels in heaven this morning and sing. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. It's Jesus' ministry. Let us pray. Standing in his presence on holy ground. Come on, softly, just sing that again. Come on, I want your voice to fill the room, church. Minimal music, minimal music.
Holy ground.
Let your voice, let your instrument fill the room with praise.
I know that there are
angels
all around.
Yes.
Let us praise. Let us praise the name
to be loud with your worship, but you got to be genuine. God is not calling you to be loud. He's calling you to be genuine. He's calling a spirit of truth out of that spirit of yours that would submit to him because of who he is and because of what he has done for us on that cross of Calvary. Holy Spirit, descend upon your people right now, Father God. Without the stimulant, without the drums going, without the beat getting louder, and God is calling a spirit of truth. Worship in spirit and truth. For who I am, says the Lord, for what I've done. Know what is going on this morning, church, in your spirit. I'm gonna sit. We need to learn how to worship in the quiet. We need to learn how to just sit in the quiet with God. On the mountain of God where Moses went to go see his Lord face to face, there was no music. There was no preacher yelling. There was just the presence of God. Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to us in the quiet, God. Reveal yourself to us, my God, because this is how we get closer to you. This is how we know you, my God, when we can be face to face with you. Without so many walls, my God, that are good, Lord, but they're not you, Father. God is wanting real worshipers this morning. He's wanting real worshipers from this church. Be ministered to, Holy Spirit, speak, reveal, God. There's some of you in the room. Maybe you're a newer Christian and you have not yet experienced all that God has done. God says today, I love you. I loved you before you knew me. I knew you before you knew me. I knew everything that you would do. I knew all the mistakes that you would make. And I still died for you. This world was broken. This world needed a savior. Something was lost. Something was lost in the garden that I created for you. Something was lost. Sin got in the way. Pain and suffering got in the way. But I am a God who fights for you. That I would make a way, I would make a new way to restore what was lost for you, because I love you. And if you're feeling alone today, if you're feeling unloved today, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. God, our Father in heaven, loves you. That is the God I serve. That is the God that I'm amazed by every single day, who knew everything that I would do, every mistake I would make, every imperfection of my character and my being, and he still chose to love me and use me.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at My Pneuma Church. Thanks again, and God bless.